Grab a hold of your Bibles and just stand. Let's hold them up and say it together. This is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. All right. If you'd remain standing with me, please, and turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 8. By the way, I have another book up here on my podium, and this is a new owner's manual for a new motorcycle. What'd I get? It's a Kawasaki Vulcan 2000. It's a V-twin, so that means it has 1,000 cc's per cylinder. They call them coffee cans, the pistons.
What color is it?
It is a pearlescent white with a laid over with some pearlescent tan, kind of. So it was, get in the sun and it'll be little tiny metallics in it. So, and Doug Stadansky, the one who owns Wilmer Motorsports, he jumped right in and he gave me a really good discount. It's an 07, but it was new. Gave me a really good discount on it. And then on top of that, after I told him I wanted new pipes on it that made a little more noise. And then along with that is the computer that tunes the engine for that pipe, and he didn't charge me for it. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Great guy. And you people are great too. It's awesome. When I tell people, they just kind of go. So it's cheaper than therapy, I'm sure. So. All right. Now we know. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 1, I'm going to read down maybe. I'm going to read through 14, I think, so bear with me. But we're talking about the Holy Spirit, been talking about the Holy Spirit for the last several weeks. And this one I just entitled, The Law of Life. Have you ever thought of that phrase before? The Law of Life. I like the sound of that. All right. Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, our sons of God. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it is straightforward, it is direct, and it is truth. And we can trust it, and you will help us to understand it. I pray, Lord, that you would just anoint this message as it goes forth. Hide your servant behind the cross once again. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. One of the very rich books in the Bible, of course, is the book of Romans. And it's sometimes difficult It's so deep, and so many concepts come at once that sometimes it's really difficult to understand exactly what they're saying. And in this case, there is a term in there that is a little different in the first part of Romans chapter 8. It is walking according to the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, when it says walk according to the Spirit, it's talking about a lifestyle. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, it says in Galatians. And this, though, is different. This terminology here in Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 1, it talks about who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So walking according to the Spirit, in this case, is talking about the position that we find ourselves in as Christians because of what Jesus Christ did for us. We no longer are in a flesh walk, we are in a spirit walk. That doesn't mean that we can't sin and do things that are in the flesh. That's what Galatians chapter 5 is talking about. But what this is talking about is we're on a new road. The Bible tells us that there is the straight and narrow road, and there is the broad road that leads to destruction. Straight and narrow is the road that the Lord puts us on when we become a Christian. Now, without Christ's work on the cross, there would be no salvation, right? Without Christ's work on the cross, there would be no salvation. We would be condemned. We would be done. We would be gone. But, thanks be to God, Jesus Christ came. He lived sinless life. He died on the cross, as we recognized this morning. He's broken, bled and died, and he rose again. And we're waiting for him to return. So without Christ's work on the cross, there would be no salvation. But without the work of the Holy Spirit, there would be no revelation and there would be no application. Now, let me explain that the best that I can. There would be no revelation in us or to us, no revelation to us of what Christ did without the Holy Spirit, and there would be no application in us if it wasn't for the work of the Holy Spirit. So we've been trying to examine the Holy Spirit's work in the church and in the life of Christians, and we're looking at that again this morning, the power or the necessity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we see it clear over here when it says in verse 9, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." So this is a necessary ingredient that takes place when we become a Christian. Now I'm going to back to my schedule. Revelation. Okay, we see in Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16, just past where we read, this revelation power of the Holy Spirit. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." It is the Holy Spirit that illuminates to us who we are when we become a Christian. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to realize that He's our Father, we're His children. And the Holy Spirit is the one that facilitates that in us and helps us to see. It's kind of like we're blind, but now we see. The Holy Spirit are glasses to the Word of God and to the truth of the Word of God. Without it, we can't understand it. But with it, we're illuminated. We see. We receive revelation of what Jesus Christ did. If you can understand what Jesus did and are able to believe it, we're thankful to God, we're thankful to Christ, and we need to be thankful to the Holy Spirit because He's the one that drew us in. He brought us. The Bible says that we did not find Him, He found us. Right? Doesn't it say that? He went after us and got us and opened our eyes and we saw Christ. We had the revelation of what Jesus Christ did. Then we have the application. You see, we need help. When we become a Christian, we're born again, our soul is cleansed, our penalty for sin is washed away, but here we stand in the flesh, the same old flesh that we had before we got saved, and it becomes a problem. And it's a struggle. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians in that struggle with the flesh sometimes just are quiet about it. They go, "Oh, I hope know, I don't want anybody to know that I have a struggle here or a struggle there, or this is going on because people think a lot less of me or whatnot. Look at Romans chapter 7, verse 22 through 25, the very last part of Romans 7. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. See, he's received the revelation. He's born again. He's a Christian. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, which, by the way, is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Okay. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now listen to this. This is a desperate cry if I've ever seen it. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You ever felt like that? Well, obviously the author here feels that way. But we don't end there in verse 24. We go carry it on to verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's an exclamation point behind that. So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. That doesn't mean he lives in sin, but he's saying that our flesh is incapable of being holy. We're living in an unholy vessel. We are capable of being covered by the blood of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he not only made provision for our soul, he made provision for our flesh too. And the provision for the flesh is the Holy Spirit that is given to us to help us walk that narrow road that God put us on. And so if you feel sometimes like you're hopeless or beyond help in your flesh, it's probably true. But in part of what Jesus did on the cross, he recognized that flesh as being corruptible. He recognized it as not being capable of being holy. So he made the provision for us through Christ on this narrow road to walk with our hand in the hand of the Holy Spirit to help us move forward, even though we're still living in this carnal flesh. How many think that's a good plan? Romans chapter 8, verse 12 and through 14 again. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Okay, so let's back it up. Let's take this scripture from verse 14 and go backwards on this train of thought, which in the Hebrew or the Greek, they did that quite often. They start with a thought is at the bottom, and then you kind of got to follow it backwards the way we think. And verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Who are sons of God? We are, because we have received Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so we're on that road, and we are led by the Spirit. So this isn't as much talking about how we make our daily choices as who we are in Christ and what road we are on. For as many as are led by the Spirit, that would be us. Okay, that's you. If you're a Christian, you are now living according to the spirit realm rather than living according to the world. Now, your flesh still has its issues that the Holy Spirit can help you overcome. But for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And then we go back up and it says, if you live according to the flesh, which would be a non-Christian, you die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And that takes place when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It gets confusing because in Galatians it does talk about we need every day to walk in the Spirit. That's our daily walk. But we are set in that blessed place where we have the Holy Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. If you think you aren't and you're a Christian, then you probably got a problem because of the verse that I just read in verse 9. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So there you have it. Now we're going to start again with verse 1 of Romans chapter 8. It says, this is an interesting scripture. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Who's in Christ Jesus? Okay, and you don't walk according to the flesh, but you walk according to the Spirit. Okay, you do, because you're a Christian, because you have the Holy Spirit in you. So there's no condemnation. What does that mean? That means that when you stand before God at Judgment Day, you will not be condemned. Why? Because you didn't do anything wrong? Wrong. Because Jesus paid the price. He stood in your stead so that you could stand before God, and God is going to say to you, it's been paid for, and you will not be condemned because of Jesus. How many think that's a good deal? And so, that's what it's talking about. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, which is you, but according to the Spirit, which is you. For the law of the Spirit, of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So that takes place before you ever struggle with your flesh after you become a Christian. This has already taken place. It doesn't mean you are totally sanctified. It doesn't mean you are incapable of sinning anymore, as some preach. It just means that Jesus facilitated that for you. And there is a new sheriff in town. It says here, the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus. Before, it was the law of sin and death. But now, there's a new sheriff in town, a new law. And that law is Jesus paid the penalty. He laid it down for us. We picked it up. We received it. And the law is life in us. How many like that law? That's the law in us is life. And the Holy Spirit holds our hand as we walk through this life. Verse 9 again. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And that would be who? Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Who's that? That's the unsaved. See, there's no middle ground. You don't have, you know, just the left arm of the Holy Spirit or the right arm of the Holy Spirit. You either are a Christian or you're not. There's no in-between ground. You either have the Spirit dwelt living in you or you do not. And if you do not, you're not a Christian. Okay, so we receive Christ by faith. We receive that gift from Him. And the Holy Spirit then lives and dwells in us. That causes a little bit of confusion because people like me preach, you can have more of the Holy Spirit. That gets a little confusing because you think, well, I got the Spirit. I am a Christian. I have the Spirit. What are you talking about? Well, watch this. We're going to go to John chapter 20, verse 22. Now, Jesus was with His disciples, and before He ascended into heaven, He did something. Verse 22, it says, and when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Did they receive the Holy Spirit? Yeah, that's what it says. I mean, you believe the Word? It's there. They received the Holy Spirit. Okay, but this was not the same thing. It was the same Spirit, but it was not the same thing as we find in Acts chapter 1. I want you to examine this very carefully. Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 4. This is Jesus is talking to His disciples again. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise. I want you to get that word. Promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from me. And that promise you'll find in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. Let's spin over that real quick, then we'll get back to this. Luke chapter, and it's promised also in the Old Testament in Joel, and I can't remember. I'll tell you in a minute. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Now, if you're confused, hang in there, we'll get it straightened out. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. Jesus' words, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. the promise you'll find in the Old Testament talk about it in Isaiah 44:3, Joel 2:28. We aren't going to go there, but you can if you want later. All right, so obviously what Jesus breathed into them, the Holy Spirit, was not what he was talking about when he said after he ascended, he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for what? Wait for the Holy Spirit. Why? We've already got the Holy Spirit. You breathed it on us. Because the Holy Spirit is not static. The Holy Spirit is dynamic. In other words, you receive the Holy Spirit and he dwells and lives in you. But there's a whole lot more of the Holy Spirit available. There isn't any of us that have all the Holy Spirit has to offer. Nobody. Nobody here has all the Holy Spirit has to offer you or has available for you. But if we don't realize that there is more available, we're never really looking for it or making ourselves available for the Holy Spirit to use us. So let me start again with Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. And John truly baptized in water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They're thinking a little bit on the carnal end of things, and Jesus just ignored them pretty much. In verse 7, he says, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own authority. And then he goes right back to it in verse 8. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They had already received the Holy Spirit. This was something extra. This was something more. And so they waited in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit fell on them, as it shows you in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, and the church exploded. It began to go forward. So for us to really understand how the Holy Spirit can work in our lives and can work in the church, we have to understand that concept that we have the Holy Spirit and he is with us. And Jesus said, you know, he'll never leave us or forsake us. That's what he was talking about. He's talking about that Holy Spirit that lives in us. But that's not all there is. And so we see it in this Jesus, after he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit, then he told them to go wait in Jerusalem. And you almost hear him say, you ain't seen nothing yet. There's more. And then there's more. And so if we understand that concept, we will find ourselves saying, Lord, what do you have for me? What is it that the Holy Spirit wants to do in me? What is it the Holy Spirit wants to do through me? Because before this happened, of course, Jesus told them to be waiting in Jerusalem, but they weren't dynamic. They weren't powerful. They weren't witnesses. They were just trying to survive. And God had used them in many miracles before. The Holy Spirit had come on them, and they used them in miracles before this. But now that Jesus went, the promise was, I will send the Helper. And so the Helper came, and the church exploded. And part of the reason, oh man, I don't believe that. My kids know better. Hey, it's the first time I've ever had a cell phone. You have to cut me a little slack. I don't have all the etiquette down yet. I'm going to ask, what were you thinking? All right. So, anyway. So there's a couple of terms in the New Testament that are interesting terms, and we're going to wrap it up here. The term born again. That's an interesting term, isn't it? That's something that the world just didn't get. It's like, "Oh, can I enter in, redo this whole birth thing?" No. This is talking about spiritual birth and baptism in the Holy Spirit. That kind of goes right along with the same thing. What is the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Well, it's talking about that extra what the Holy Spirit has, and it comes in. You can't really put a you can't really put a specific on it, all the other than it's there, it's available, and we need more of God just for our own life. That's a good way. We need more of God to be a witness, to be a more powerful in our soul winning. That's also there and available to us. The Holy Spirit is awesome. We don't worship Him. The Bible doesn't even talk about worshiping the Holy Spirit. It talks about the Holy Spirit is there to lift up the name of Jesus. And so we don't even preach about it a lot, but without the proper understanding, it can be a little bit confusing. So, verse 11. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. In other words, Jesus has paid the penalty. He's paid the price. We can leave the flesh rot and we can go on and serve God. We don't owe the flesh anything, even though it claims that we do, doesn't it? Verse 13. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if according to the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That's talking about being born again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. That's talking about you as Christians. And we're going to close with that. It's an awesome thing to know that we have an entire toolbox. Like Blake, my son is a contractor. Of course, he's just a rookie compared to Blake. But he carries around this big trailer, and in his trailer is all his tools to do what he needs to do as a contractor. Well, not all of them, but a lot of them. He doesn't carry his Bobcat in there, but tools that he needs to do the job. And the Holy Spirit is kind of like that. The Holy Spirit is kind of like a toolbox. And God intended for it to be that way because we can't do any of this on our own. We need the power tools. We need the power tools to do what God wants us to do. And so if you feel a little anemic as a Christian sometimes, you feel a little weak to be able to do what God wants you to do, the Holy Spirit will amp us up and turn us into something we didn't think we could be. And it won't be us, it'll be Him. And it's not for us, it's for His glory. Amen? So you be praying about that this week. And also something to pray about when you're here for the prayer time. Pray that you will be where the Holy Spirit wants you to be. All right, let's pray. If I could have you just bow your heads and close your eyes for a second. Perhaps again, and we do this all the time, and on and off people raise their hands. They've kind of slipped away a little bit from the Lord, and it's a good thing to do because it gives you an opportunity to be challenged. So if this morning, if you feel like you've kind of cooling off towards the Lord, you need a really good dose of the Holy Ghost, just slip your hand up and I'll be praying for you. I see that hand, you can put it down. I see that hand, you can put it down. I see that hand, you can put it down. That hand, you can put it down. Good, good. Next question I just challenge you with is, if you really sincerely are praying or want to pray for more of the Holy Spirit in your life, you're willing to just say, Lord, whatever you got for me is what I want. If that's you, just slip your hand up. I see that hand. Oh, yeah. Whole bunch. Lord, bless you. You can put them down again. Lord, you see those that feel the challenge. I pray, Lord, that you would just undergird them and, Lord, that you would just, as the coach does in the boxing ring, just tell them to get up. They would hear you. They'd reach out and let you pull them up. And they'd be able to get back into the battle and win by the power of your Spirit. I pray, Lord, for those who lifted their hands, they just want more of you, Lord. They want more of your Spirit in their life and through their life. And I pray, Lord, that you would just anoint them. Lord, I know that you can be driving along in a tractor, you can be driving along in a car, and the presence of God can just drop on you like a baptism and just do some awesome things in our lives, Lord. In our living room, in our our bedroom at home, sleeping at home, whatever it is, Lord, here at the church, at time of prayer, our private prayer time. There's no barriers for you, Lord. We make ourselves available. You show up. So I pray, Lord, that we would yield ourselves to your Holy Spirit. And, Lord, we would just welcome you with open arms. We need you, Lord. We need your Spirit every step of the way to help us. And that's what you said. You send the helper. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Dan's going to come. Is that the song we're singing? Awesome.
If you grab your hymnal and turn to page 196, it is on the overhead too. It's the last song of the schedule. And it's, is it in the schedule, the last song on the schedule? No, not one. And it only has three verses, and if you have the hymnal, it's 1, 3, and 4, verses 1, 3, and 4. Okay. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, no, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. There's not an hour.